book of James, chapter 5, and verse number 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's the reading of James 5, verses 13 through 16, if correctly read. A young preacher, I went out to see someone one time at the hospital, and I'd just gotten off from work. And as I got out to see these folk, I went up to pray, and as I left there, I remember heading for the car and thinking, well, you did the right thing. You're tired, you wore out, but you've done the right thing. And as soon as I did, it came to me about, did I go in my name or did I go in Jesus' name? And I felt rebuked of the Spirit that I had gone in my name as the pastor and I hadn't gone in Jesus' name. And there seemed to be, even though I'd prayed there, there seemed to be something missing in that room, and it was in my own life. And so the Lord told me to make it right, and so I confessed my sin to him and he forgave me. And he said, now go back. I said, Lord, I can't go back. The Lord said, you're going to have to go back. And I thought, well, I'll tell him that I forgot something. That'd be a lie. That'd be a lie. You can't do that either. And I thought, well, I'm just going to have to humble myself and go. And I went back up there to the room, and the folks in the room said, preacher, did you forget something? And I said, yes, I did. They said, what did you forget? I said, I forgot to go in Jesus' name. What broke me to tears, touched them as well. And I said, I came up here as your pastor. And that was the right thing to do. But I forgot to go in Jesus' name. And I want you to forgive me. We hit that altar there in that little room and began to pray, and glory came down. I tell you, we've got to get to where we pray in the name of Jesus. We've got to get in the glory world. We've got to get there in our lives. And the best thing we'll ever do is just admit our old flesh and our old mistakes, that we go in the preacher's name and in the deacon's name, and we go in the friend's name, and we need to learn to go in Jesus' name. Things will be a whole lot different. I want us to look tonight at this little thought in verse number 15 where it says the prayer of faith. Many of us, we know what these verses mean. We'll not be teaching anything new tonight, but I want to go back over them, and I want us to examine very carefully the prayer of faith, because if we're not careful, we'll say a little prayer, but there's a difference between just a little prayer and the prayer of faith. I want us to think, first of all, tonight about the problem requiring the help of God. The problem requiring the help of God. Preacher, what is the problem? According to the book of James, there are a list of problems here that James gives for us to come and pray about. And first of all, there is suffering for external pressure, and there is some that have been stricken with internal pain. Look at what he says very carefully. He says, is any among you afflicted? What should you do when you are suffering? You need to pray. The time to pray is when you're suffering. You may say, preacher, I don't feel like praying. He knows what a groan means. He knows what help means. It doesn't have to be an elaborate prayer, but in times of suffering, has anybody ever gone through suffering in this building tonight? The best thing you'll ever do is pray in times of suffering. And he goes on and he says, is any merry? Let him sing psalms. In other words, have you ever had an occasion in your life where you had a time of rejoicing? Things were going well and you could shout the victory, amen? You already said you're supposed to do at that time? You're supposed to sing psalms. You know, that's a type of prayer as well. You're supposed to be the type of person that you would pray in season of suffering and seasons of singing. Psalm 105, I want to look at a verse, and we will be turning to plenty of scripture tonight. Psalm 105 and verse number 2 says, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. You heard our choir director tonight stand up and say, don't listen to the way we sing it, listen to the words. And I remarked on that thought that he had there, because it was in my point tonight for preaching, and I thought he didn't say that by accident. He said that to encourage us to listen to words that's in these music, in these songs. Don't listen to the way somebody sings it. Listen to the words. Psalm 105:2, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. When there is times of rejoicing, when you are singing, it is a type of prayer. The psalms are a prayer book. And so when you're singing, making melody in your heart, it is a type of your prayer life. Lord, have mercy. We don't do a whole lot of praying when things get well, seems like. But if you'll get to singing, it is a type of prayer life. Amen. Back to James chapter 5. Not only should we pray in seasons of suffering and seasons of singing, but he says in verse 14, is any sick among you? What are we supposed to do in seasons of sickness? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Not the name of the preacher, or the deacons, or of the church, in the name of the Lord. What are we supposed to do in seasons of sickness? We're supposed to pray. Seasons of suffering, seasons of singing, seasons of sickness, we're supposed to pray. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 15 at the end of the verse, if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. This would tell us that in our time of prayer that we have repented of our sins. Are you with me? Hey, when should we pray? In seasons of suffering, in seasons of singing, in seasons of sickness, and last of all, in seasons of sin. Best thing you'll ever do is when you sin before God is pray and get forgiveness of your sins. So James clearly identifies four areas of problems that require God's help. Number two, I want you to see the process that releases God to heal. What do you mean releases God to heal? God's already released, preacher. You're not going to motivate him. Well, the Bible says this. The things that you loose are loosed in heaven. And the things that you bind are bound in heaven. You see, on earth, when you and I come before the Lord and we loose our faith in him, when we hit this old altar and we humble ourselves and say, oh God, I'm suffering, I want to pray. Oh God, I need to sing. I'm going to sing psalms for the glory of God. Oh God, I've got sickness, I want to pray. Oh God, there's sin, forgive me. When we do that, when we release faith, God releases his power to forgive your sin and to heal your sickness and to hear your cries and lift you up and release his grace. Amen. If you decide you're going to bind some things and you're going to live in unforgiveness and you're going to live in disobedience, God is not going to hear your prayer. You've got somebody that you want to pray for that's sick on your heart. But if you're living in disobedience and you won't get right with God, God's not going to hear your prayer. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. Amen. There is a process that releases God to heal. And according to these verses, it's unavoidable and it's inescapable. Preacher, what do you mean? He even gives us exactly the process where there's a time of sickness. This is a time of when your body, that's what the word means in the Greek, when your body has a time of sickness, you come before the church and ask the elders, who are they, preacher? They are the men that God has called into the ministry that are ordained. They are the men that God has called to be deacons that have been ordained. These are the leaders of the church, whether they're active or inactive. They're in a leadership position. And it is God's process to have these men who are supposed to be good men, men who are filled with the faith, men who are filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, I believe a deacon ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe a preacher ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost and be filled with faith. And we gather around this person, and they humble themselves to be anointed with this oil. This oil is not a healing oil. There's no virtue in the oil, but it's about faith in Jesus' name. It's about humbling yourself and being obedient. Brother Steve has told us of a time, I hope I can tell this brother, he's told us of a time that he had a certain ailment. He was anointed at the church for it because he believed God. But the healing didn't come that night. And the next morning, things were even worse. So he said, well, the next step is I've trusted God, and he's given us doctors, so I'll go see the doctor. He called the doctor, got an appointment. They came and checked his blood pressure. It was elevated, showing that he had pain. And the nurse said the doctor will be in just a little bit. And Brother Steve said he got to studying about what he's going to tell the doctor, where it hurt, and what started it all. And he said, just in a little bit, when I started thinking about it, my pain had left me. From the time the nurse had been in there checking my blood pressure, things had changed. And now I thought, oh, Lord, what am I going to tell the doctor? I'm doing better. The pain's gone. I can't tell him how it really started. Well, Lord, have mercy. What am I going to do? And the doctor came in and introduced himself. And Brother Steve introduced himself to the doctor. And he looked at him and he said, well, tell me where it hurts. He said, well, I'm afraid I've wasted your time, Doc. I'm sorry. But it don't hurt no more. He said, what? He said, well, all I can tell you is I got anointed last night at the church, and God must have come by and brought healing to me. Amen? And the doctor said, what kind of oil was it? You see, it's not in the oil, amen. It's a prayer of faith in the name of Jesus. It is one person humbling themselves for an ailment that they believe that God can change and do something about. It's about being obedient to the Lord's voice and humbling yourself down and desiring this of God, and then we anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's what the Bible says. It's not the deacons or the preacher who's got healing power. Let me say something to you tonight. I want to excuse all divine healers but him, Jesus Christ. I'll excuse divine healers, but I'm going to embrace divine healing because only Jesus can do it. Amen. Number three, and we'll anchor right here. There is the prayer then that requests God to hear. We have a responsibility to pray one for another and to pray in faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. He said in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'll not have you turn there, but you'll be reminded that when Lazarus was dead and was wrapped up in grave clothes and put in a tomb and a stone rolled in front of the door, that Jesus came and said, take ye away the stone. And Martha said, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. You'll read the scripture in John 11. Jesus quickly began to pray to his Father. And as he began to ask, hear what I'm going to tell you. When we pray, the word is a word for a lesser asking something of a greater. A child asking from a parent. A subject or asking from a king. But when Jesus prayed, it was not a lesser asking a greater. It was a different tense of the verb. It is a king asking another king. It is equals. Hallelujah. Jesus asking his Father. He and the Father are one. And he's beginning to call on God the Father. He was praying in faith outside the tomb that day. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. You talk about healing virtue.
You talk about healing power. A man to stand in faith in the name of God and say, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was bound, he that was dead came forth bound, hand and foot. Yes. Glory to God. He said, loose him and let him go. And they took off all the grave clothes, and old Lazarus lived to see another day. How'd that happen? Because Jesus had the power to do it. He prayed to the Father before that ever happened. I can take you to other places, but I can tell you about a fig tree. And he prayed and brought forth a curse over it. And the next day that thing was gone. It's a prayer of faith. We're to pray this prayer of faith. And when we make a prayer of faith, we're always supposed to pray in Jesus' name. We have just read it to you in James. We're to anoint and to pray in the name of the Lord. Turn to John chapter 14, verse number 13. And I want you to hear Jesus' exact words regarding our prayer life, that prayer life of faith. In John 14, verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we're to ask in Jesus' name. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, I'm just going to talk quickly about our prayer life. We're going to get into this a little deeper. Our prayer life grants us access to the throne of Almighty God. Now, the scripture says in Hebrews that we're to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Look at Romans 5:2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. How do we have access to God? By faith. James said we're to pray the prayer of faith. All right. So preacher, tell me a little bit about the prayer of faith. Seven things tonight. Seven things. I'm going to move quickly. Please be ready to turn to Scripture. The prayer of faith always rises from an uncondemned heart. Preacher, what do you mean? Turn with me to 1 John chapter number 3. Verses 21 through 22. The prayer of faith rises from an uncondemned heart. 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. In other words, what this means is we are rightly related to the Redeemer. You and I do not have sins that are unforgiven. The prayer of faith rises from an uncondemned heart. I'm not talking about the heart condemning us itself. I'm talking about where the Holy Ghost dwells. He's the one that puts His finger on our life and tells us where we're wrong. If we're going to pray the prayer of faith, we need to be right with God, and we ought to be right with our fellow man. As much as is in us, let us live at peace one with another. If your heart condemns you and says, you can't even pray the prayer of faith because this is an issue in your life, get right with God. I know people that will lay out of a communion service because they know they're not right with God. They also know that before their preacher would allow them to take of the communion service, he will preach to them and ask them to get right with God and confess their sins and get it under the blood that they can go back and partake of the Lord's Supper. But they still won't come. And you know why they won't? They're saying, I am not going to get right with God. I pray that God would convict your heart to tell you it's more than just the Lord's Supper. You're not going to be able to pray over your wife, over your children, over your husband, over needs within the family, needs within the church. you'll have no effective prayer life at all because God has His finger on your heart and we need to get forgiveness of our sins. A prayer of faith will not be offered with sin in our heart. Number two, not only will this prayer of faith rise from an uncondemned heart, but this prayer of faith will recognize the will of God. We're not praying for our will to be done, but for God's will to be done. Jesus taught us that in the garden. While you're in 1 John, look at chapter 5 and verse number 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. When we pray, we must have an uncondemned heart, and we must pray according to the will of God. Is your prayer life according to the will of God? Number three, prayer of faith, it also rests on the promises of God. Hallelujah. Listen, friend, one of the good members of our church came to me, and I'll not identify her, but she came to me and said, "Preacher Darren, I have here a Bible. It's a blank. Just to look at the covers, just for sales type thing, and they're just going to throw it away, but I want you to have it." And so I looked through that. It's pages. Blank pages all about. Said you could use it as a journal. You could use it for whatever you want to. And I thought, Lord, I'm going to use that as preaching fodder. Can you imagine tonight if you've got a Bible in your hand, its pages being blank? Honest, it broke my heart. I carried it over Tennessee and showed some of them over there. They broke to tears. I said, I'm glad I've got something tonight that's got a promise in it. I'm glad I've got something tonight that tells me where I'm a sinner and tells me how I can be saved, amen. I'm glad I got something tonight that tells me how I can go to heaven. Boy, if I had to carry something around that was completely blank, I'd be a man most miserable. I think about the prayer of faith resting on the promises of God in Matthew chapter 21. Look with me here in verse number 22. This is Jesus' own words. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. If we ask with an uncondemned heart, if we ask according to the will of God, if we ask believing the promises of God, believing that nothing's impossible to our God, He said, you shall receive. Oh, I like that tonight, don't you? I can't get away from this. Hey, some of you just cut me off when I got on the very first point about an uncondemned heart and said, well, I'll not get any further. There's a little boy who, he was walking down the street and he saw a pack of cigarettes somebody lost with the matches inserted in the side. And he picked it up and pulled one out and lit it and began to smoke it. He started to coughing. He couldn't breathe. It took his breath. He started to choke and it burned his throat. Smoke was a-boiling all around him, and he's, about that time, his daddy walked up and seen him. The little boy quickly put the cigarette out and throwed it down, hoping that his daddy hadn't seen him. He looked at a billboard that said the circus was coming to town, and he tried to divert his daddy's attention and said, Daddy, look, the circus is coming. Can we go? And the daddy said, Son, you should know better to ask a petition of your father holding smoldering disobedience in your hand. You ought to know better than to ask God for anything if you've been disobedient and it's still within your heart. It's not going to happen. It rises from an uncondemned heart, amen. It recognizes the will of Almighty God and it rests on the promises of God. Fourthly, it respects the purpose of God. In the book of Acts, chapter number 4, I want you to look at verse number 24.
Here's Peter and John. They've been beaten. They've been told they cannot no longer preach in the name of Jesus. And they were let go. And when they were let go, they went back to their own company, probably back to the church, and began to report to them what had happened. And look at verse 24. Look what they do when they have suffering and problems. Verse 24. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined, therefore, to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. What did they pray? God, let the gospel not be hindered. Let the word of God keep going out that people can be saved. And you know what they said? They didn't say, let my suffering end. They didn't say, take away my problems. They said, Lord, just give us a stronger backbone to carry your message with boldness in the face of opposition. And God moved in such mighty power that the ground shook all the way around them, amen. And the people glorified God. Hey, I'm going to say to you tonight, amen. We ought to have a purpose in our prayer life that the word of God reaches the lost and dying, that they might be saved from the devil's hell like we were saved. Fifthly, in Jeremiah 32, the prayer of faith, it will reckon the power of God. Boy, I like these verses right here. Been reading them in your hearing for some time. In Jeremiah 32 and verse number 16, he says, now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, oh Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Your prayer of faith, it reckons the power of God. It says, God, there's nothing too hard for you. I thought tonight, Brother Donnie, while the youth choir was singing, boy, it was well said, amen. If God could save me when I was without God and without hope, when I was in a horrible pit in the miry clay, when I had no relationship with him, when I was a stranger and a foreigner to the covenant of promise, when I had no hope whatsoever, if God could come by and save my sin-sick soul and put my feet on the solid rock and establish my goings and put a song in my mouth, if God could do that, surely he'll answer my prayer request now. What was harder? For him to save you from the devil's hell or to meet your needs daily? Whew. He's not going to fail you now. His word, his character, his name is on the line. If he fails you, he'd not be God. He's God. He's God. He can't fail us. Amen. Our promises rest on his power. Our prayer life rests on his power as well. You just have to get down in your prayer life and say, God, I can't, but you can. Lord, I'm unable, but you're very well able. Lord, I'm just finite, but you're infinite. Amen. Nothing's possible to me, but all things are possible to you. Bless his name. Sixthly, the prayer of faith relies on the Spirit of God. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, and in verse number 18. Ephesians 6, 18. Praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit.
Paul told us, how are we going to stand against the wiles of the devil? He says, put on the whole armor of God. And once you've got on that whole armor of God, he says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That means that when we pray in the Holy Ghost. I get down and I pray. Oh God, this is what I need so bad. The Holy Ghost takes that message, flies before the throne of Almighty God, where the Spirit with groanings which cannot be uttered makes intercession for us. He says, Father, your son says he needs, your child says he needs this. But what he really wants and really needs is this. Something even bigger and something even better. And if we'd start praying in the Holy Ghost rather than in the name of the church or the name of the preacher, if we'd start praying in the Holy Ghost, things would start happening in our prayer life a whole lot more than they're happening now. Turn back to the book of Romans, chapter number 8, verse number 26. Dig out this nugget in the book of Romans, chapter 8. There are many. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. There's a verse we quoted. I want you to see it in your Bible. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. You see, when we're down and out, we begin to pray. He's helping us. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You ever been there? You think you know exactly what you need, and you pray about that. But the Holy Ghost knows something better for you. He's an interpreter. He's an interceder. Woo! He says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Last of all, I'm done. The prayer of faith, it will always rise from an uncondemned heart. It will recognize the will of God. It will rest on the promises of God. It will respect the purpose of God. It will reckon the Spirit, the power of God, and rely on the Spirit of God. But last of all, a prayer of faith will rejoice in the answer from God. Whoop! The prayer of faith will grab a hold of God's answer. Psalm 66, as we close. Psalm 66. Please turn to these verses. Verse 17. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. You hear what David said? Psalm 66, at the close of that chapter 17 through 20. He says, blessed be God. That is a word that says we can rejoice. Hallelujah. God has heard my prayer. He's not turned away my prayer. He says in verse 19, he's attended to the voice of my prayer. You know what that means? He's answered in his own way. Oh, hallelujah. I like it when we get the answer from God. Oh, my family, we're wanting God's answer. We're begging him tonight. We want it to rise from an uncondemned heart. We want it to rest on the power of God. We want it to be in the Holy Ghost. We're needing an answer tonight. I'm preaching to myself tonight. Hey, we're resting on the promises of Almighty God, and we're seeking His will for His answer. And I'm looking for Him to do something about it. Hey, amen. It might be somebody here tonight. You've got something heavy on your heart. There was a little boy. He kept asking his mama. They'd went to the mission field, and they didn't have anything anymore. Didn't have no money, didn't have no anything. And the little boy, he said, Mama, he said, I want you to get me a size 7 t-shirt. And she said, let's pray about it, son. He said, I just want a red t-shirt, Mama. They began to pray and pray day after day after day, praying over a red t-shirt. And one day that missionary's wife got a phone call. It said, I want you to know we've got some shirts that are left over. We feel glad to give them to your family. The mama said, What size are they? He said, it's a size 7. Said, how many are they? Said, it's 12 of them. I'm telling you what, that little boy got 12 of his prayers answered all at one time. God can tonight, church, answer the prayer of faith if we come.